Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the new year, 2019, and how it can be a wonderful time to start a new life. We will discuss the power of the mind and how it can be used to create changes in our reality. Join in as we explain some of the Kriya Yoga concepts about the mind and the chakra system, including how to use resolutions to form beliefs. The best way to predict your future is to create it. Did you know there are different ways of thinking, and how we think is what we become? Listen as we show how to use the causal spiritual body to create our future. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul to awaken in divine likeness. So Swami, so happy new year to you. And so, well, let's get started right away. Let's talk about how this can be a wonderful time to start a new life. What does that entail?
Well, I think it entails conscious effort, intention, having goals and objectives, and maybe a game plan, which is what I think what we want to try and talk about here as far as how to really make your resolutions stick, how to really make changes in your life, and maybe optimize all of your efforts with regard to your approach to life?
So much I'd like to further discuss with you the power of the mind and how can it be used to create changes in our reality?
Yeah, that's something that we're really starting to discover and work with is just how complex and how many different variables that you can plug into. We always talk about levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness. And these are the variables to consider when evaluating the success of our human experience. And the formula that we're working with here is how we think is what we become. One of the things that I have recently really kind of worked on in depth was understanding revelations in the Bible. There's a man, Herb Fitch, who did a complete workshop on the revelation of St. John back in 1970. Going through that, I really started to see that the image that we use for the logo is really a diagram of the revelation of St. John. To understand the mind and how the mind works, and the symbolism that is used in Revelations, I've kind of laid it out that the houses of consciousness may be looked at in astrology by the mutable signs and their natural placements, so that the lower mind is third house and Gemini. And it is experienced as instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. It's reaction and emotional responses. It is basically our awareness of matter and the laws of matter, the laws of opposites, the law of karma. And in Revelations, this is represented by what was called the first beast. The mid-mind is the sixth house, Virgo, and it is experienced as rational thinking, using human or mortal mind to form thoughts and opinions. And in Revelations, it is represented by the second beast, which was also referred to as the false prophet. The higher mind is the ninth house, and it is represented by Sagittarius. We experience it as the world mind or collective consciousness, and sometimes said to be the subconscious mind. But in Revelations, it is represented by the dragon, and it is the imitation of life. The 12th house, which is symbolized or represented by Pisces, is divine mind. And it is experienced as the truth of being and the eternal life, which is experienced as the perfection of our being. And in Revelations, it is the throne, which is the will of the Father. When we finally let divine mind take over the scientific government of our being, then that is when we are doing the will of the Father. That is when we are in harmony with divine law. And what I found was the third house, the sixth house, and the ninth house are still represented or representing the law of karma. They are either things visible and tangible or things invisible but tangible. And the only thing that really kind of gets us out of the law of karma is this divine mind. It is our attention for what is invisible and intangible.
So are you saying that we experience all of these houses? And as you explained, the lower mind, the higher mind, and the divine mind, do we vacillate between one and the other throughout because as we're experiencing the houses?
Well, to answer your question, yes. And that's why the topic of this is talking about breaking the hypnotism, breaking the trance of the law of karma. That this ongoing struggle between good and evil and right and wrong is really, it is not backed by principle. It is not the creator. It is not the creation of the divine law. It is not the creation of divine mind. It is the shadow of this creation. And so our attention for that is what actually gives it the appearance of having power.
So it seems to me, just listening to the description, that probably 98% of the world's population is probably operating out of the lower mind and or the higher mind, and very, very few from the divine mind. So let's talk about how to break that hypnotism.
Right. And this whole concept of awakening in our divine likeness, and that's what I think Revelations lays out for us. It gives us kind of a step-by-step game plan for how to break this belief in what isn't real, this belief in a reality that is really apart from the divine creation or the divine principle. Or the truth of our being. I really like that term, truth. And especially in the context of in the Bible where it says, know the truth and it will make you free. Because it's very important to understand what this truth is, what the truth of our being is, but also what is it that we're being freed from? And the more you start to educate yourself and understand that there are scientific principles that are at work here. And again, I can't give enough credit to Mary Baker Eddy with her discovery of Christian Science for really laying it out. And even with her book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, it really turns the Bible into a lot of words into instruction to become this human in the adult state, this human in its truth of being, because we're not a physical body that has a mind and perchance a soul. That the reality of our existence is that we are spirit, we are eternal spiritual beings, and we are an expression of an indestructible principle. Now, what it is that we are identifying with is really provisional. What has really become interesting for me is that what is referred to in the Bible as the devil or evil is really the testimony of our senses. It is really what is being reported in our five-sense mind. And it has been evident to me for some time that the reason why it doesn't work is because it is what they call duality. It's in half. It has split from unity. It has split from the creative principle of life. And now it has appeared in half, leaving behind a complementary unmanifested part. So here's where you kind of have this way of understanding ourselves from levels of consciousness and also from a degree of awareness, that whatever it is that we resonate to, whatever it is that we desire, whatever frequency we are vibrating at, is really going to determine our level of consciousness. Now, the one thing that will expand your identity is the union of matter, mind, with this thing called spirit. That is what impregnates the seed of consciousness. That's what enables our identity to transcend the limits of seeing ourselves as separate.
Swami, I'd like to ask you more questions about the divine mind. And one of them is, you had stated, talking about the perfection of being, and that it is in Revelations, it is discussed as the will of the Father. So I want to talk to you more about that, about the will of the Father and living through divine grace. And what does that look like when we're doing it?
Yeah, this whole thing of human dominion is really just God's perfect law. And what creates an interference pattern with the will of God or a divine mind is really our human thinking. What it does is it prevents us really from seeing the reality that has been created by this concept or this creator that we call God. And I think a lot of it comes down to being able to really distinguish between, because one of the things that we talk about is forsaking human thought for divine knowing. And what is divine knowing? It is knowing that what God has created is the only thing that has power and is backed by principle. It is the only thing that is self-existent. Everything else really just robs energy or power from that principle in the shadow of truth. And so it is our belief in something other than the allness of this divine law that puts us in a reality that is false. It's not real. It's not lasting. We believe that we are a mortal physical body that is going to die. One of the common statements is two things you can count on. One is dying, and the other is paying taxes. Well, these are not true. They're not the truth of our being, because the only thing that is certain is eternal life.
Well, this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we will be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I see in our notes that there's a new condition out there called HFS, the Holiday Fatigue Syndrome. Wondering if you can give us more information about that.
Yeah, well, that's what kind of inspired me for the title of today's radio show, Breaking the Hypnotism, because this is a perfect example of just how we are individualized from this world mind. And just how do I react to these suggestions? I mean, do I react with fear? Do I react with caution? Do I accept it? Do I believe in it? And a lot of this will give you clues as to just what your level of consciousness is, and do you know that you are hypnotized by this world mind? And yeah, holiday fatigue syndrome. It's all of these conditions that we label and then we advertise. And then, of course, we sell solutions to them. And this is 180 degrees from what Mary Baker Eddy had discovered. That she discovered that if we sow to the flesh, which is if we get our information from our five sense mind, and then if we think that that is real and that is the truth of our being, that we are mortal, material, corporeal beings, then this is the kind of stuff that we're susceptible to. But by the same token, it is how we perpetuate these conditions. Because sickness really is a belief in something other than God. Something other than this indestructible principle that all life originates from. And by us having awareness for what is outside of us, as opposed to what is creating us, is what enables us to fall into this hypnotic trance, this state that we believe that we are finite. We have accepted that we were born in a physical body without really knowing the truth of our being. And by us continuously validating ourselves from what is visible and tangible, we perpetuate this hypnotic state. In order to wake up from it, you really have to understand, I think, what is going on here. And what Mary Baker Eddy did with her work, Science and Health and Key to the Scriptures, is she really lays it out in a very comprehensive, intelligible plan that by this just accepting what Jesus had suggested. Love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and then you will be able to love your neighbor as yourself. That the hidden variable here is, what is God? There is something that they have in Christian Science that Mary Baker Eddy said, something to the effect that divine love meets every human need. And of course, if every one of your needs, if you don't feel like your life is magical, that you are living under or out from this kingdom of heaven, then chances are that you have a belief in something other than this one true God that Mary Baker Eddy is talking about. So where is your divine love? Because it is our recognition of it that will set us free. It will wake us from this hypnotism, from this trance that we're in. And this is what was called the Christ.
So just to comment on what you were saying about being hypnotized by the world mind, I don't think that we as a collective people really have a clue as to what that really means. I think we're so caught up in our everyday lives that we don't understand that our everyday lives are actually part of this whole hypnotism. And let's talk again about how we can break that. And the major thing is to bring God into our life, right?
Yeah, or understanding what God is. And I really like what Herb Fitch says in Revelations. In class 2, side B, there it is, I found it. Now, a very shocking thing happens. We find that the revelation of Christ Jesus to Christ John tells us that the entire human race is not worshiping God, but is worshiping the wrong God, the God of this world. The revelation tells us that the entire human race is under a state of hypnotism, living in a sense mind that is incapable of knowing God, and that all the activities in this world, in this sense mind, are functioning not in the will of God, but in the independent individual will of the human ego. And there we have the basis of the world problem and the individual problems that we encounter day by day. We have said, "Thy will be done." He has that in quotes, while doing our own will. And even those who wish to do the will of the Father are unaware of the method by which they can receive the will of the Father. And so they march blindly in their innocence under the belief that they are worshiping God, and all they are doing is worshiping their own ego, their own sense of things, which Paul calls the God of this world, which blinds men. He continues, he goes on and he says that Jesus taught a God not of this world, but a God of heaven, a heaven that was at hand and available, and the world, uncomprehending, turned away. But that God which he taught is still at hand, still available, and now we discover the will of that God in you must be done. There is no one on this earth who will not do the will of the Father. We have a Father within, and until we have discovered the Father within, we cannot discover the will of that Father. And so we walk blindly without a guide. We are like blind men with little white sticks. We are not aware of the Father within. Consequently, we walk through the world unable to see that which is, while we spend 24 hours a day living a sense of existence that the Master calls the living dead. The Master says, if you know God aright, you step out of that deadness, out of the deadness to Christ, to the livingness of Christ. So this is something that has been said in the Bible, that if we are material, if we sow to the flesh, we are dead to life. But if we sow to the Spirit, then we are alive. We are engaged in eternal life. And it is our awareness of this divine law, which is present right here, right now, that awakens us from the belief in this finite sense of life, this false sense of existence.
I think that was such a very powerful passage, and what really stands out to me, one of the many things, is that when he describes us as being like blind men with these white walking sticks.
Yeah, exactly, because we are blind to the perfection of our being. We are accepting something that is finite, material, mortal, temporary. And in reality, we are eternal spiritual beings, and we're just completely unaware of that. But it is our knowing of this and our acknowledgement of it that begins to change the whole external picture of our reality.
And I did want to take time to talk to you and our listeners about a post that you had done last week on Christmas Day, and this was on Facebook. It was a picture of a manger scene, and on that you entitled Christ is Born. But I did want to read the post that you said, because I thought this was pretty telling as well. And you had written, when the Christ is understood as the saving aspect of truth and not something unique to Jesus, it makes divine law accessible to every human consciousness. The truth is, all life is the expression of this indestructible principle, sometimes called spirit, God, life, truth, etc. The Christ is what makes the presence of spirit intelligible to the human mind. Let us forsake human thinking for divine knowing. May we all awaken in our divine likeness and realize that the only thing that is certain is life, love, truth, principle, God. Stay in the spirit of truth. Merry Christmas. And I think that is what we're talking about today in trying to break this hypnotism.
Right. We want to wake up in our divine likeness. And the thing about that is that we don't have to wait for anything. We are eternal spiritual beings now. And the quicker it is that we can break the trance that we're in, then the better it is for everybody out there.
Well, I think this is a good place to start closing down our program for this morning. So, listeners, I'd like to remind you to visit our websites, www.ipdtransform.com. And there you'll see all kinds of tools there for your learning experiences. And also want to remind everybody about the Wednesday free webinars that we have available that start at noon. Now, at these webinars, it can be anything that you would like to discuss with Swami Jayananda. And then, Swami, I was wondering if you could let our listeners know how they can access those webinars on the website.
Yeah, sure. If you go to the website and you click on online classes, it will bring you to a page. And then if you scroll down to the Pray on Prana selection, and you click that on, it will bring you to the Zoom landing page where you can register for that webinar.
And then also don't forget, we have our Facebook Live episodes that we also do on Wednesday nights at 5:00. So with that, Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I definitely would like to wish everybody an inspired new year, to really try and move beyond this hypnotic trance that we seem to be in, and to start to live out from the perfection of your own being, and start to forsake human thinking for divine knowing, to know that you are an eternal spiritual being. And with that, I wish everybody a good day and a happy new year. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, also wishing you a happy new year. Along with me is Kenny Toy. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.